But hopefully you're continuing on, especially if you're a presuppositionalist, with our book, John Frame's Apologetics, A Justification for Christian Belief, because he's been a little bit critical on Vantillian or Bonsonian tag arguments. And so you might not be a fan of his now, or maybe you've taken to heart some of the things that he's said and thrown off the shackles of presuppositionalism and put on your hats for the ontological view. And so hopefully he's made his case to you. We've commented on a little bit and probably have our own ideas, but we're walking through this book. And now we're on chapter 5, where he doesn't really throw out tag, but uses it as kind of a precursor to talk about kind of the theistic arguments that he would use. And it's interesting because the very first part of chapter 5, where he talks about having apologetics as proof, theistic arguments, he kind of caveats a lot with what it does and what it doesn't do and what he thinks it might be done well. But also he kind of hedges his bets quite a bit here at the very start.
Yeah. Now, and also what we'll see here is he kind of intermingles tag with the other kind of traditional theistic arguments, which is kind of an interesting take on how tag could work. Right.
Right.
And that'll be what we see as well.
Right. And so, he's definitely a person that doesn't believe that we should just allow people to have their autonomous reasoning, that the scripture should be enacted in the type of belief system that we're a part of. And one of those is that mankind is not autonomous and that everything falls under the subjugation of God and his law and command. And so here he's going to kind of apply it and cover some of the things that, as a classical apologetic person, you may be familiar with, and it may have a slightly different ring to it. But also, if you're a presuppositionalist, this will feed into kind of what you know well as well. And so hopefully this will kind of add more tools in your quiver to pull out when needed. And so here he's going to kind of walk through three different ones. And for probably this and the next episode, we'll cover his kind of main thrust of what he thinks is the best proof, and then finish up with covering the other two. So he starts out by saying that he will now present an example of a way to prove God's existence, taking into account the preceding introductory points of tag and the previous chapters that have come before. It will be a rather different from the ways to God described in the preceding sections. In a way, it will resemble the most traditional of sorts of apologetics. Yet the ultimate conclusion is quite Vantillian. Nothing is intelligible unless God exists. So that's kind of the first basis that presuppositionalists point to. And so what Frame is saying is that he, just because he's critical of some of Vantil's points, he views kind of that framework as the literal framework that he's going to present these type of arguments with.
Yeah, good. And he says that, you know, this argument will not be appropriate for every witness and situation. Of course, no argument is, he acknowledges, because apologetics, and this is a point that he made earlier, is person variable, right? So what may be persuasive to one person may not be persuasive for another person. Nonetheless, he tells us many educated adults from traditional Western culture should be able to follow, the main thrust and appreciate its logical force of the argument that he's going to put together. He says these people obviously are the ones that he's most used to dealing with. He's a professor and he teaches in a seminary, right? And so right. those are the folks that he's considering. He says this argument is not absolutely certain, right? So, you know, many readers, he says, will find a problem in that particular thing that he doesn't get, you know, that absolute certainty. It's not a proof per se, right? I think is what he's getting at. Mm-hmm. Yet it should have some persuasive value, granting that persuasiveness he's already mentioned is very difficult to measure in apologetics.
Right. So
right. That's so what he's after.
So he's not saying that you can just plug into humanity you know, these facts, and we'll run through the premise. And once the conclusion is set forth, we come to it and we ding out a card from our mouths and say, yes, I must now believe that. In fact, there's a point that he's going to get later in the chapter that actually deals with that quite a bit. And I was really impressed with that portion of it. It's also to say, you know, the persuasiveness aspect to it is something that apologists tend to get heart on, especially as a presuppositionalist, by saying, oh, you know, presuppositionalism, that might be fine and everything, but it doesn't persuade anybody, so it's not useful. And he's saying, let's take the best of that persuasive element that is useful and factor it in with these theistic arguments that he presents here.
Right. And so while he doesn't, you know, show absolutely that, you know, God exists and that sort of thing in terms of, he does still call this a proof, right? He still says that it is a proof. It's just not what we would generally think of.
Right. So he says this proof should help the reader to see in what sense the evidence for God is obvious. Romans 1:20 tells us that God's existence is clearly perceived in creation. But alas, we are so often look and fail to see it. And, you know, the presuppositionalist knows Romans 1 well, and so does, so should the Christian, because it's a way for us to say, well, how come then people don't just look up to the stars and see? And sin plays a big factor into that, and it plays a big factor into that story. And we looked at that, especially with Scott Christensen's book that we did a couple books ago. So this argument should also help us to see how all intelligibility and meaning, and indeed all predication, depends on God. And he says that he intends to show that such predication depends on moral values, and that those in turn depend on God. And this proof has therefore the force of tag, though it is formulated in positive rather than negative forms for the most part. And we covered that positive and negative as well. And there's actually a short clip on our YouTube and also cavethecross.com, where if you're wanting to familiarize yourself with what he said, you can check out just that portion. But he says that he will be arguing, in effect, moral values, therefore God. So there, he's done it.
So, yeah, that's the basic thrust of his argument.